Sorry to keep you waiting. Complicated business. Complicated. Thank you very much. Hillary has worked very long and very hard over a long period of time, and we owe her a major debt of gratitude for her service to our country. I mean that very sincerely. Now it's time for America to bind the wounds of division. We have to get together. To all Republicans and Democrats and independents across this nation, I say it is time for us to come together as one united people.
Welcome to your Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. That right there, ladies and gentlemen, I can't believe this next sentence is coming out of my mouth. That right there was President-elect Donald Trump. Can we just listen to the jaunty intro more? Can we just listen to that? Yes, that's right. Donald Trump is the President-elect of the United States of America. That was a bit there of his victory speech there. We will break it down for you. There's a lot to break down that has happened in the last week. Now, the US election, there is some stuff going on here locally, politically. I do apologize if it does sound like I've had the wind kicked out of me, because this week really has, I probably would say, the toughest week, I think, ever for me as an observer, I'm a professional observer of news, a very casual observer of news. This week has been a very difficult week for me to try and ascertain what has happened. And, of course, and I know we're called the Generic Live Show, and I know we kind of talk about the things that everyone else is talking about. You know, that's half of the appeal of this show, is to basically bring news that you already know to the forefront and to break it down in simple terms. But even as an observer, a casual observer of news, this week has really, really pushed my patience. And I do have to say this right off the top of the bat, and we'll get to everything, don't worry, this show is, it's pretty much going to be 2 hours of the Trump show, I'm not going to lie, the Trump-Hillary show, still covering the US election, because it's still made huge news. And if you want to see not only CJ Boat from the Geek.io Network and myself kind of break down as this was happening live, we covered it live. Just go back a couple of videos on this channel, on the YouTube channel at youtube.com/genericliveshow, to see our reaction as some of this was coming in. This just was not predicted to happen. Now, I understand some of the outrage. I don't understand some of the other outrage. I'm kind of on two sides of the argument, and I know that's kind of ridiculous. Excuse me, ridiculous to be on. How can you be on both sides of the argument there? But it's easy to do, because as a moderate person who doesn't, you know, who just recently started being affiliated with a political party, you know, issues is what matters most to me. Now, that side of things, I can understand how people are getting upset. What I don't understand is everything's going to go to hell in a handbasket. I don't understand that point of view. I really don't, and I really doubt that it will, because lots of things will be having to be taken out of, you know, a lot of work would have to be put in to kind of undergo a lot of these rights, and particularly, you know, as a person of an LGBTQ member and also having a partner of that same community, you know, I'm not threatened by my rights, but, well, I don't have any here, but I'm not worried about the US's LGBT rights being taken away, because we are in 2016, and as far as I'm aware, again, like I said, a lot of work would have to go in to undoing a lot of that work, and I don't think that I don't think that Donald Trump's Donald Trump's team, I'm talking about difficulties here, are able or are that vindictive to take away said rights. I don't think that that is legitimately possible at this point in time. We're going to... There's a lot that's happened even since that. It was on Wednesday that that happened. Of course, we've had lots of things that have happened. We've had President Obama come out. We've had Hillary Clinton come out to concede. We've, of course, had Donald Trump come out in victory. Here are some... Well, we're gonna break down covering this election in new areas is a little tricky. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna play the prominent people, then we're gonna cover some of the other results from the election, which I think has been buried. Some of these buried leads, as I like to call them, coming into the first hour here. So here is more on of Donald Trump's victory speech, if you will, from Wednesday morning.
Who love their country and want of hardworking, but rather an incredible and great movement made up of millions of hardworking men and women who love their country and want a better, brighter future for themselves and for their family. It's a movement comprised of Americans from all races, religions, backgrounds, and beliefs who want and expect our government to serve the people, and serve the people it will.
That is Donald Trump Wednesday morning announcing his victory of gaining the presidency of becoming the president-elect of the United States. Here's more.
...has been among my greatest honors. Our veterans are incredible people. We will embark upon a project of national growth and renewal. I will harness the creative talents of our people, and we will call upon the best and brightest to leverage their tremendous talent for the benefit of all. It's going to happen. We have a great economic plan. We will double our growth and have the strongest economy anywhere in the world. At the same time, we will get along with all other nations willing to...
Oh, sorry, that cut off there. This is going to the other side now. Here is Hillary Clinton's full concession speech on the flip side of it as well. Here is Hillary Clinton.
Thank you all. Thank you. Thank you all very much. Thank you. Very rowdy group. Thank you so very much for being here. And I love you all, too. Last night, I congratulated Donald Trump and offered to work with him on behalf of our country. I hope that he will be a successful president for all Americans. This is not the outcome we wanted or we worked so hard for, and I'm sorry that we did not win this election for the values we share and the vision we hold for our country. But I feel pride and gratitude for this wonderful campaign that we built together. this vast, diverse, creative, unruly, energized campaign. You represent the best of America, and being your candidate has been one of the greatest honors of my life.
As Hillary Clinton's secession speech, here is President Obama, the last bit of audio that we'll play here in reaction to the election. Here is Barack Obama. Alongside him is Vice President Joe Biden.
Some of you may have seen, in which I said to the American people, regardless of which side you were on in the election, regardless of whether your candidate won or lost, the sun would come up in the morning. And that is one bit of prognosticating that actually came true. The sun is up. And I know everybody had a long night. I did as well. I had a chance to talk to President-elect Trump last night, about 3:30 in the morning, I think it was, to congratulate him on winning the election. And I had a chance to invite him to come to the White House tomorrow to talk about making sure that there is a successful transition between our presidencies.
That is President Obama talking about President-elect Trump's win. Now, again, like I said, doing this show today is a little, trying to find new ground is a little difficult, of course, but looking at the electoral map as it stands right now, President-elect Trump, I have to get used to saying that, President-elect Trump currently has 290 electoral votes, with Mrs. Clinton having 228. There are still two states that are yet to be called. They won't make any difference. But they're still the final. These aren't final totals. Recounts are taking place in New Hampshire and Michigan, of all places, where Michigan shows a narrow Trump lead by less than 10,000 votes, and in New Hampshire shows a slight Clinton lead by about 3,000 votes. Let's look at that Michigan one again. Yeah, about 10,000 vote lead in Michigan and about a 3,000 vote lead to Mrs. Clinton in New Hampshire as well. Looking at the Senate, the Republicans won across the board. They have the House, the Senate, and the White House. They have a narrow majority in the U.S. Senate and a large majority in the House of Representatives, not the House of Representatives, the Congress, that's the one I was thinking of, in the U.S. as well. After our break, we're going to get to some of the, actually, you know what, we'll get to them at the bottom of the hour, because that'll give us more time. Some of these ballot measures, what I like to call the buried leads in this election coverage since the results came out, because I do want to give these the proper time that they deserve to be fleshed out, and they kind of they deserve to be fleshed out the way that they do. I want to see some of this isn't loading. Why is this not? I had something queued up and now I don't have it queued up. Why is this not queued up? Anyway, we'll get back to that. But I wanted to play. There was a kind of a montage. See if I can find it on.
First, we created a beer with less carbs.
Whoa, how about you don't create a beer without my permission? Not official sponsors.
Hillary called you.
Okay, so this
just
video.
Just imagine how many more automobile jobs will be lost.
Whoa, again, I did not ask you to speak. Gee, Trump is in voking on the show already. Okay, so what was I doing? So I'll find that montage of political figures in the break, and I'll play it to after the break, and then get to some of these ballot measures that, like I said, buried lead in this election post-election coverage. They're important, trust me. Some of these are very important down on the state level, but we'll get to those in just a moment. Here, Donald Trump's first interview on 60 Minutes. President-elect Trump has decided to do a 60 Minute interviews. Here's what we can look forward to, I suppose, is one thing to say. So here is a sneak preview.
Tell us about that phone call.
So Hillary called, and it was a lovely call, and it was a tough call for her. I mean, I can imagine. Tougher for her than it would have been for me, and for me it would have been very, very difficult. She would have been nicer. She just said, "Congratulations, Donald. Well done." And I said, "I want to thank you very much. You were a great competitor. She's very strong and very smart."
Hillary Clinton's only loyalty is to her financial contributors and to herself. I don't even think she's loyal to Bill. You want to know the truth.
It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
Secretary Clinton.
She's got tremendous hatred. And this country cannot take another 4 years of Barack Obama, and that's what you're getting with her.
America first. That begins.
Those were clips from the campaign, by the way. This is on Obamacare.
Ends with immediately repealing and replacing the disaster known as Obamacare.
When you replace it, are you going to make sure that people with preconditions are still covered?
Yes, because it happens to be one of the strongest assets.
You're going
to
keep that.
Also, with the children living with their parents for an extended period, we're going to...
You're going to keep
very
that.
Much try and keep that. Adds cost, but it's very much something we're going to try and keep.
And there's going to be a period, if you repeal it and before you replace it, when millions of people could lose...
We're going to do it simultaneously. It'll be just fine. That's what I do. I do a good job. You know, I mean, I know how to do this stuff. We're going to repeal it and replace it. And we're not going to have, like, a two-day period, and we're not going to have a two-year period where there's nothing. It will be repealed and replaced, and we'll know. And it'll be great health care for much less money.
That is a preview of what we can expect on 60 Minutes. That 60-minute interview comes out tomorrow. That'll come out tomorrow at around... I want to say 10 o'clock my time, at 10 o'clock Australian Eastern Standard Time. It's 9 p.m. Eastern? 7 p.m. Eastern on Sunday on CBS. Yes, correct. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell, thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. Prominent Australian political heads react to Donald Trump and how the Simpsons called this in the year 2000, of all things. Thanks for joining us as we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us. It's 10:20. You've only found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. Pleasure to be here as always as we continue our coverage of the week's events. Now, The Simpsons... You know what? Cartoons in general are getting really, really good with predicting the future, and this one, unfortunately, is yet another case of that. The Simpsons, in the year 2000, called a Donald Trump presidency. Have a listen.
As you know, we've inherited quite a budget crunch from President Trump.
We're broke.
We will do a great job. I look very much forward to being your president.
What can we do to keep one group of people away from another group of people? We'll build a fence.
Fence, fence, fence.
We will build a wall. It will be a great wall. It will do what it's supposed to do. Keep illegal immigrants out.
Sure is quiet around here.
Do you miss us?
Yeah, we miss you.
That's why we build a door.
I certainly hope that next part is definitely true. I hope that they do build a door in the wall so they can hold parties. That's actually quite funny. That second clip there about the wall is from 2009 actually. So that's actually, yeah. I'm surprised that they pulled that too. Although they called it a fence. So there you go. Although, apparently, Donald Trump has been backing down on that one as well. I know this is meant to be the happy segment. I know this is meant to be the clip of the week. And I know this is meant to be happy. But I just, like I said at the top of the show, I just feel like this week, and even with all the other news that we'll get to later on in the hour, I just feel like that I've had the wind kicked out of me. This week just doesn't feel right. But that was actually one silver lining this week, was that the Simpsons called that Trump would be elected in an episode in the year 2000. That is 16 years ago. Even the wall thing from 2009, it's kind of impressive for the writers of the Simpsons to come up with that. See, this stuff does, in fact, write itself, people. So there you go. We're gonna take quite an early break here because because I do have quite a lot to get through. We're gonna talk about the buried leads of this election cycle coverage. Like I said in the first segment of the show, finding new ground to cover in amongst all of these election coverage is a little difficult, but I feel like going through the ballot measures is probably a good start. But first, our friends at Australian Gold and Collectibles are coming to town. They are wanting to buy your silver, gold, and collectible items, anything from gold nuggets, broken bracelets, broken necklaces, single earrings, broken rings, snapped gold and silver, and maybe that piece that you just don't like anymore. That, and in conjunction with some collectible items, including NRL, AFL football records, cards, badges, cards, anything from sport collectibles to stamps, banknotes, and tokens. I want to remind you, though, that Australian Gold and Collectibles are a little bit picky with what they buy, but they give fair offers to their clients that do give them high-quality stuff. They do pay well. With on-the-spot settlement, the choice is entirely up to you. They are fully licensed, an ABN and a second-hand dealer number. In Queensland, their dealer number is 3973976. They're coming to the Brothers Leagues Club, which is located on 99 to 105 Anderson Street in Manada. They will be there from Tuesday. They'll be there Tuesday, the 15th of November, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Go see them. They're Australian Gold and Collectibles. If you have any more questions in regards to the Wanting to Buy campaign, you can give them a call on 039-357-9996 or send them an email at inquiries@agc.melbourne. That again is Australian Golden Collectibles coming to the Brothers Leagues Club at 99-105 Anderson Street in Manunda, Cairns on Tuesday the 15th of November. That's this Tuesday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. buying your valuable gold, silver, and collectible items. Again, fully credited second-hand dealer 3973976. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, we're going to go through all of these ballot measures and tell you where they stand. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. It's 10:30. Whatever the time of day, whatever the time of the night, we're here to serve you a big dose of genericness with your host, Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. Pleasure to be here as always. Now, we will get back to the coverage of the world event that rocked the nation. No, I'm not talking about Walmart announcing their Black Friday deals, though that is coming That's certainly coming up. But, and by the way, I know, and again, like I said, I feel like I have to keep repeating myself throughout this episode. I do apologize. I am a little bit flat today. This is not going to be a very high-energy show because, like I mentioned on the live coverage of the election, this is, of course, not the outcome I certainly wanted or expected. I'm still, and like I said, as a casual observer of news, this is certainly not the election result that I certainly saw coming. And the point I was making in the first segment of the show is that as a casual viewer of news, this week certainly has been one of the toughest weeks I think ever for me trying to find certain bits of news to particularly cover. Now, In terms of the election, now, again, like I said in that first segment, finding new territory to cover is a little tricky. So what I'm going to do now, because we have a full sort of segment to kind of, a full segment here to cover, you know, other things that happened in terms of the election, and no, okay, I'm going to talk about this for 2 seconds, and this is probably about it. I'm not going to go in deep detail about the protests that are happening in very liberal states because they're happening in liberal states. So there's your answer there before you ask. So that is why I'm not focusing in on that. What I am focusing in on, though, is some of these ballot measures that were voted on the same day as people voted on the presidential and Senate races and some gubernatorial races. People went to the polls and voted on some ballot measures as well. So in Alabama, they voted on impeachments, a proposal that requires 2/3 supermajority vote in the Senate for conviction and impeachment of a state official. In Alabama, they voted yes, was that one. Alabama also voted on right to work, a constitutional amendment prohibiting businesses from making rules about union membership. That was also a yes vote. So both yeses there. Alaska, voter registration through PFD application, an act allowing qualified individuals to vote when applying for a permanent fund dividend. Okay, that was a yes vote. I don't know what that means. If anyone can explain that to me, please do, because I don't know what a PFD is. In Arizona, legalized marijuana establishes a 15% tax on retail marijuana sales allowed to public health, allocated to public health and education. That was a no vote. Arizona vote no to legalize marijuana. But they did vote yes to increase the minimum wage to $10 in 2017 and gradually to $12 by 2020. In Arkansas, Medical Cannabis Act allows medical use of marijuana legal under the state of Arkansas. That was a 4 vote that passed. In California, adult health film regulation, Proposition 60 is a vote requiring the use of condoms in filming of pornographic films, along with requiring a producer to pay for certain health procedures. That was a no vote on that one. Gun control measures, Proposition 63 is a vote on banning large capacity ammunition magazines and requiring a background check to purchase ammo. That was a yes vote. Tobacco tax increase by $2 per pack. And that is to go to existing healthcare programs. That was a yes vote. Bilingual ed reserves the requirement that public schools ensure students become proficient in English. That was a yes vote. Drug price standards, this is still California, prohibits state agencies from buying a prescription drug from a manufacturer at any price over the lowest price paid for the same drug by the USVA. That was a no vote. The death penalty repeal the state death penalty and replace maximum punishment for murder with life in prison without the possibility of parole. That was a no vote. And legalized marijuana use. Proposition 64 is a vote on legalized recreation sale and use of marijuana for persons 21 years or older and taxing it. That was a yes vote. That's closer than what I thought it was, that one, by the way. The legalized marijuana use is a 56.1% yes and a 43.9% no. So that's interesting. In Colorado, they had some ballot measures there as well. State healthcare system. Amendment 69 is a vote creating Colorado Care, a system designed to provide universal health care for the Colorado residents. That was a resounding no vote. Increased minimum wage to $9.30 in 2017 and $12 by 2020. That was a yes vote. Increased tobacco taxes by $1.75. That was a no vote. Medical aid of dying, Proposition End of Life Options Act, if approved, would legalize the option for assisted death for terminally ill patients who had 6 months or less to live. That was a yes vote. And allowing unaffiliated voters in presidential primaries. Proposition 108 is a vote allowing unaffiliated voters to vote in primary elections. That was a yes vote. District of Columbia. This one is huge, by the way. This next one for the District of Columbia is huge. Position Congress for statehood. The state held referendum asks DC residents whether or not Washington DC City Council should approve the proposal of statehood, and subsequently petition Congress for statehood admission. 85.8% yes. 14.2% no. That was a resounding yes. So DC could become a state yet. In Florida, the big one is medical marijuana there. Amendment 2 concerns the legalization of medical marijuana in Florida for people with specific diseases or conditions. That was a resounding yes. In Georgia, failing schools, Amendment 1 would allow the state to create opportunity school districts to oversee elementary and secondary schools. That was a no. Hawaii's amendment hasn't been officialized yet. Jury trials, civil cases. Approval for the amendment to the state's constitution would allow threshold value from $5,000 to $10,000 convey requirement for jury trials in civil cases at common law. That's got a yes lead, so I'm assuming that's going to be a yes. And Idaho agency rules, the approval of this measure would constitutionalize the legislator's authority to review, approve, and reject administrative rules. That is a yes vote in Idaho. In Illinois, revenue for transportation, a revenue amendment, would ensure that Illinois' transportation funds only be used for its intended purposes. That was a resounding yes. In Indiana, right to hunt, approval of public question one, original, would add an amendment to Indiana state constitution stating one's right to hunt, fish, and love every day. Sorry, harvest wildlife. That is a yes vote, by the way. If anyone gets that reference, I'm going to be so proud of them. Hunt, fish, and love every day. Please let me know if you do get that reference. Kansas also has the also now has the right to hunt and trap wildlife. So they also have the right to hunt, love, and hunt, fish, and love every day. I've got to get it in the right order, otherwise, you know, it gets dangerous. Louisiana, higher ed management laws, authorities contain higher ed boards to establish the tuition and mandatory fees amounts charged to institutions under their supervision. That is a no. Nope. In Louisiana. Maine did legalize marijuana just 50.2%. Increased minimum wage to $12 an hour by 2020. That is a yes. Expand gun background checks before gun sales and between unlicensed gun dealers. That was a no vote in Maine. That is weird for Maine. In Maryland, Attorney General and Comptroller vacancies requires vacancies for Attorney General and Comptroller officers to preserve political party affiliations. They are for that. In Massachusetts, expand slot machine gambling. That is a no. Expand charter schools. That is a nope. And legalize marijuana. That is a yes vote. In Minnesota, legislative pay voters decide on to create a bipartisan board to set the salaries for state legislators. Yes. Missouri, voter ID. Yes. Montana, expand medical marijuana to repeal the 3-patient limit on medical marijuana providers. That is a yes. Nebraska, the death penalty got repealed. Nevada, expand gun background checks, which would also would require firearm transfers to go through a licensed gun dealer for background check. Temporary transfers and transfers between immediate family members would be exception from the measure. That was a narrow yes. And legalized marijuana is also a yes. New Jersey, no to expanding casinos. New Mexico, for denying bail of certain felons. North Dakota, yes to medical marijuana. Oklahoma, execution methods to state in their constitution to guarantee the state's power to impose capital punishment and set methods for execution such as the death penalty. That was a yes. And funds for religious use. That was a no in Oklahoma. Oregon, wildlife products ban would ban the selling of parts of 12 animals, including cheetah, elephant, jaguar, leopard, lion, penguin, rhino, sea turtle, shark, tiger, and whale. That was a yes on the ban of that. Pennsylvania, a yes to the judge retirement age from 70 to 75. Rhode Island is coming up here in just a few seconds. Okay. To expand ethics commission authority, they approved that. South Dakota, the interest rate loophole, the ballot would limit the ability to state statutory investment rates for loans. That was a no. Nonpartisan elections is for established nonpartisan elections, which that's odd. Nope. And they voted no anyway. Cap interest rate puts in place a 36% cap on interest rate for short-term loans. That was a yes. Campaign finance overhaul, if passed, it would establish a publicly fund campaign system would create create an ethics commission. That was a yes. And non-union workers' fees subject to fees for their representation. That was a no. In Utah, changes to the state school fund, changes the wording and provisions relating to expenditures, distribution, and investment for the school fund. They were for that. Virginia is not a right-to-work state. Washington did want to increase the minimum wage to $13.50 by 2020 and provide employees, requires employees to provide paid sick leave. That was a yes. Firearms access, authorities, courts to issue extreme risk protection, older workers and remove individual access to firearms. That was a yes. In Wyoming, expands fund Leggett may invest. Allows the investment of millions more dollars with state funds in stock. They were for that. Now, I think, like I said, that is definitely the buried lead. There are some important things there. And I thought, you know what? This can't be all just covering the election, the presidential side of things. I think some of these key ballot measures are huge in a lot of cases. If you had the right to work state stuff in Alabama, you've got the statehood petition in DC, you've got no to legalizing marijuana in Arizona, the increase in minimum wage in Arizona, and expansions to the Medical Cannabis Act, failing schools, that sort of stuff. A lot of stuff here that will affect people on the local level. And, yeah, they will affect people on the local level, I suppose, in a way. I don't know what happens next now. What happens next when this passes? Does it pass automatically through? I suppose it has to go through a procedure after this, I would assume. South Dakota one is interesting. I don't know how nonpartisan elections would work. I don't know how that would work. It's supposed to be interesting to see in practice, I suppose. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell, we have Malcolm Turnbull's response to the outcome of the US presidential election and the Australians and the US have done something a little bit odd. We'll tell you more as we continue here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us. It's good to be here. It's 10:50. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. Now, breaking news, a tsunami warning has been issued after a 7.4 earthquake near Christchurch in New Zealand. A 7.4 earthquake strikes near Christchurch in New Zealand. A tsunami warning has been issued. A powerful quake hit just after midnight local time. Strong volts felt more than 200 kilometers away in the capital, Wellington. New Zealand Civil Defense issued a tsunami warning advising residents of the South Island's East Coast to seek higher ground. Civil Defense said it is too early to assess the damage or whether there has been any injuries or deaths. Christchurch is the biggest city on New Zealand's South Island. A 6.3 quake there in February 2011 killed 185 people and caused widespread damage. Australian journalist, according to the ABC, Australian journalist Gemma Sheridan, who lived just north of Christchurch, told the ABC the tremor was measured by New Zealand's GeoNet at 6.6 woke her up from her sleep. Quote, the extent of this quake was much that woke me out of my sleep, and I thought that someone maybe in my house was moving furniture around or something. Quote, I ran on outside with one of my housemates, and we quickly realized what was going on, and the ground was just shook, and it seemed to never ending. We were just sitting there wondering what when it would stop, unquote. Snowdon said the situation was scarier than normal. Quote, I've been hearing sirens and alarms going off throughout the city, unquote, she said. Excuse me. Wow. This first show doing it at 10 o'clock instead of 9 o'clock is really taking its toll. Earthquakes are a common occurrence, but this one was particularly long and protracted. That's all we have. Breaking news, according to the ABC, a magnitude 7.4 earthquake strikes Christchurch near New Zealand. That is late breaking news. There's nothing else that's been reported on it so far, so we'll tell you more as we get it. Now, I couldn't find that montage of Australian politicians reacting to President-elect Trump's victory in the US election on Tuesday, but I found something a little bit better. I found the cream of the crop. I found Malcolm Turnbull's 7:30 interview instead. So we'll enjoy bits of this. Here is the Prime Minister of Australia, Malcolm Turnbull.
Well, we congratulate Donald Trump on his election win. As I said, President-elect Trump has sought to heal the wounds of the campaign, which, of course, was a very hard-fought one. We offer our good wishes to Secretary Hillary Clinton for her hard-fought campaign as well, but it's notable that despite the bitterness of the campaign and the intensity of it, which was confronting for many Australians, it's a much more bitter-fought campaign than we are used to. But nonetheless, the first thing President-elect Trump has done is sought to bring Americans together. He's paid tribute to Secretary Clinton. He sought to set out how he will govern for all Americans, whether they voted for him or not.
Earlier this year, the former Australian Prime Minister John Howard said he trembled at the thought of Donald Trump becoming the United States President, that there's an instability about him that bothers me. Does it bother you?
Lee, as the Australian Prime Minister, my job is to defend Australia's interests and ensure that we work effectively and constructively with the President the United States people elect. And they've elected Donald Trump, and after the 20th of January, he will be the President, and we will have a strong and effective relationship with his administration, just as we have with President Obama's and many administrations before that.
Donald Trump has already indicated that he doesn't support some of the traditional foundations of American foreign policy. For example, he won't guarantee coming to Japan's aid in the event of an attack by North Korea. He has raised the prospect of withdrawing from NATO. How can Australia continue to rely on the ANZUS Treaty? Why would we trust that a Donald Trump-led administration would come to Australia's aid should we require it?
The United States will stand by its commitments. The United States administration, the Trump administration, just like the Obama administration, will act in defence of America's enduring national interests. You know, prime ministers and presidents, congressmen and senators come and go, but the nation's enduring interests continue. And the alliance between Australia and the United States is set in the enduring national interests of both countries. It's in our mutual interest to stand together, and we'll continue to do so through the Trump presidency and the presidencies that follow it.
But given that I just pointed out that he's made it clear that he doesn't necessarily subscribe to the traditional foundations of American foreign policy, what's the source of your confidence there?
It's important to remember, Lee, that during a hard-fought campaign, it's important to remember that great observation another American politician said, which is that they he's speaking of American politicians, he said, we campaign in poetry, but we govern in prose. Now, whether you regard the debates in this last American campaign as poetry, the fact is that when an administration takes office, when a president takes office, he is confronted with the realities of the national interest of the United States, the strategic realities that confront the United States, the importance of its alliances, the significance of the global prosperity that is underpinned by America's commitment to the rules-based international order, especially, of course, in the Asia Pacific. So
that is we're out of time here. We're hard up on a break here, but that is Malcolm Turnbull talking about Donald Trump's president-elect Donald Trump's reaction there. I think I could not agree more with the Prime Minister there on that point alone. I think it is in the mutual interest in both countries. I mean, Trump might negotiate trade deals that might occur. I'm not saying it will, I'm not saying it won't. It might occur. And I think going to the negotiation table is different than kind of scrapping things all together, which I think is what Trump's point was all throughout the election. I think I could not agree with the Prime Minister more there. There are some things that I don't necessarily agree with. I don't agree with the Prime Minister often. I think on there, that is a very, very heavy statement to say there on in regards to Mr. Trump. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show on a Sunday, the Australian and US, Australia and America have done something a little odd that we are actually going to have to break down here, because I think this is also another buried lead of the week. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, thanks for joining us on a Sunday. It's 11:01.